Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, January 21st. I'm Abby Larico. A case in federal court is aiming to dismantle a decades-old wetlands law best known for its nickname.
Swamp Buster is one of the few conditions that we have in Iowa and nationwide addressing agricultural pollution and reducing agricultural pollution.
Why a landholding company says the wetlands law is unconstitutional and why sustainable agriculture groups are pushing back. That story coming up after this news on The Gateway. Donald Trump's first day back in the Oval Office included the president issuing pardons to more than 1,500 people charged with attacking the U.S. Capitol at the end of his last term. The list of January 6th defendants includes at least 36 people from Missouri and more than 50 from Illinois. Their charges include conspiracy, entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds, and felony assault on a police officer. The White House announced the, quote, full, complete, and unconditional pardon to most of those convicted, though the Trump administration also commuted the sentences of 14 people facing the most serious charges. The Missouri State University Pride Band had planned to perform at the inauguration parade in Washington, D.C., but instead, by Monday afternoon, they were already headed back to Southwest Missouri. Bitterly cold temperatures reportedly prompted the Trump transition team to move the ceremony inside the U.S. Capitol Rotunda, and MSU's Pride Band announced on social media that due to venue capacity and extreme weather, they wouldn't be performing at President Trump's second inauguration. The Pride Band baritone said Monday that even though the inaugural parade had been canceled, they still had an amazing time exploring the city. Palestinians in St. Louis are welcoming the news of a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Golden Chicken, a Palestinian-owned restaurant in St. Peter's, held a celebration event Monday. St. Louis resident Rahaf Hamza stopped in. She says she appreciates the community event and says that seeing the restaurant decorated in Palestinian flags and symbols made her feel special.
It's very wholesome, you know, like the vibes, the music, the atmosphere, like everyone being here is really special.
She said while the ceasefire is a moment of relief, she's still thinking about the traumas Gazans face after experiencing yet another war and the escalating tensions in the West Bank. Missouri and two other states can proceed with a lawsuit challenging the Food and Drug Administration's decision to loosen restrictions for the abortion pill mifepristone. A federal judge ruled that attorneys general for Kansas, Missouri, and Idaho can renew their effort to ban the drug after 7 weeks of pregnancy instead of 10 and revive other restrictions. The attorneys say the drug is risky, despite evidence it is safe when used as directed. A Metro East Library Board that's been caught up in culture war debates has a vacancy. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports a conservative majority could be on the line, but potentially only for a couple of months.
Conservatives on the board of the Mississippi Valley Library District in Collinsville and Fairmont City have had a narrow majority since 2023, but the vacancy has left the board split down the middle. The trustees have until mid-February to fill it. However, board president Jeannie Lomax says April's election matters more.
I don't really see it as, you know, that it's going to make a whole big difference because it's going to be filled by whoever the voters decide on in April. It's a real small window.
The board has 3 seats on the April ballot, including the vacant one. If the deadlocked board can't agree on a replacement, the Illinois State Library Board could make the appointment next month. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Some commuters in the Metro East will need to find alternate routes as the Illinois Department of Transportation plans to completely shut down a section of Interstate 255 next month. For 6 months, starting February 1st, IDOT will close 3.5 miles of the interstate for rehabilitation and resurfacing between Illinois Routes 15 and 157. IDOT says compared to keeping the interstate open but with reduced lanes, this full closure reduces risk to construction workers, saves money, and will make for faster repairs. The transportation agency has completely shut down I-255 for this kind of work in the past, most recently in 2020 for a 7-mile portion between Illinois Route 15 and Collinsville Road. The U.S. Department of Justice is ending its investigation into the police killing of Sonya Massey in Springfield. Mawa Iqbal has more.
The DOJ was investigating claims that 36-year-old Massey was discriminated against because she was Black and in need of mental health help. Now the DOJ has reached an agreement with Sangamon County officials requiring changes to policing rules and training, but the agreement doesn't include any punishment if the county fails to comply. County Board Member Mark Ayers says he's disappointed by that.
These are just some recommendations that sound great, but really don't move the needle in addressing true justice for Sonya Massey.
Massey was fatally shot last summer by former Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson after calling 911 to her home. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
A tribute to the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center on Monday included music and speeches about the path to racial justice in the U.S. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin has more.
We'll be marching, fighting till the victory is won.
Performances by the Sheldon's All-Star Chorus and Umsel's Voices of Jubilation came before remarks by Frederica Newton. She's president of a foundation that preserves the history of the Black Panther Party. Newton says the Black Panthers' tactic of armed self-defense came at a time when King's views on nonviolent protest were evolving.
Dr. King's attitudes did shift after the Watts riots of 1965. Dr. King realized the challenges that Black communities were facing were not being addressed by the civil rights movement.
The event also included recipients of a scholarship for students who paired good grades with community service. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
A 40-year-old law has protected millions of acres of wetlands on U.S. farm ground, but a company that owns land in Iowa says that law violates private property rights and is suing the USDA. As Harvest Public Media's Rachel Kramer reports, the lawsuit could upend a major wetlands conservation policy.
At the Center for Agricultural Law and Taxation at Iowa State University, Director Christine Tidgren scrolls through the 1985 Farm Bill on her computer. She's looking for a section called Wetland Conservation.
So right in here is where it is.
Farmers, policymakers, and conservationists call this law Swamp Buster.
When Swamp Buster was enacted and put into law, there were concerns about preserving wetlands across the country.
By the mid-80s, over half of the original wetlands in the lower 48 states had been lost, largely through agricultural drainage. And people were worried. Wetlands provide vital habitat for wildlife, filter drinking water, and store floodwater. Tidgren says Swamp Buster aimed to protect what was left by linking conservation to federal benefits, like crop insurance and farm loans.
The idea was that if you did then convert those wetlands to farmland, then you would be denied a proportion of some of your farm benefits.
Today, farmers that drain, fill in, or alter designated wetlands on their land risk losing all farm subsidies. Swamp Buster has helped slow down the disappearance of wetlands in the U.S. But now, the long-standing law is being challenged in federal court. The case stems from 72 acres in northeastern Iowa owned by CTM Holdings, a company that rents out farmland. Jim Conlin is CTM's managing member.
It is very fertile, tillable soil, and it has spots in it that the government designated as wetland. And as a result, the trees can't be removed from it. It can't be used for anything, and they pay nothing for that.
When the USDA denied his request to reevaluate the wetland designation, Conlin, a retired Chicago attorney, says he started looking into Swamp Buster.
And the closer I read the statute, the more I said, this is crazy. This is clearly unconstitutional.
CTM's lawsuit argues that Congress did not have the authority to pass Swamp Buster and that it infringes on private property rights. Lauren C. Hayes with Liberty Justice Center is one of the attorneys for CTM.
Normally, when the government says, hey, I'm doing something for everybody, a public use, a public purpose, then it's a taking. They use the powers of eminent domain to take the property and they provide just compensation to the property owners.
But the USDA, along with a group of sustainable ag organizations intervening in the case, argue that Swamp Buster does not take or regulate land. It's part of congressional spending, which can come with conditions.
The thing that is very puzzling to me about plaintiff's argument is that they're basically arguing that farmers should be entitled to free taxpayer money with no strings attached.
That's Katie Garvey, a staff attorney with the Environmental Law and Policy Center, which is representing the Iowa Farmers Union in the case. Garvey says farmers who leave designated wetlands in place get access to subsidies worth billions of dollars.
The government's not taking anything from anybody. They're saying they have opened up a giant pot of money and they said, come and get it. Who wants it? Do you want it? Okay, here's the one thing you need to do in order to get it.
The lawsuit over wetland conservation is expected to go to trial this year. It comes on the heels of several U.S. Supreme Court decisions that have made it easier to challenge environmental laws and the federal agencies that carry them out. This includes the Sackett decision, which sharply limited the EPA's authority to regulate pollution released into wetlands and streams under the Clean Water Act. Michael Schmidt is an attorney with the Iowa Environmental Council, one of the organizations intervening in the Swamp Buster case.
Swamp Buster is one of the few conditions that we have in Iowa and nationwide addressing agricultural pollution and reducing agricultural pollution.
He says getting rid of the lawn standing law would be a move in the wrong direction. I'm Rachel Kramer, Harvest Public Media.
HPM is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.